A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Listen for a word from God. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed."
The setting of our story is the banks of the Jordan River, the doorstep of the Promised Land. Here, we see the transition of leadership from Moses, who led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the desert, to Joshua, who will lead the people into the Promised Land after Moses is gone. God had told Moses he cannot cross the Jordan River, and Moses, at his seasoned age of 120, embraces this command wholeheartedly and announces the news to the people. Imagine the Israelites. After 40 long years wandering in the desert, being told that Moses will not complete the journey with them. Questions such as, "Who will lead us?" or "How will we continue to have the instruction of the Lord to guide us?" would have raced through my mind had I heard this at the edge of the Jordan River. As the biblical scholar Patrick Miller says, anxiety is an authentic and appropriate response, but need not persist. We can release these fears because we have this promise from God, a promise that is taught throughout Scripture, which affirms the idea, "So do not fear, for I am with you." God promises to deliver you. God promises not to abandon you. God promises not only to be with you, but to go before you and beside you. You are not alone. The second valuable element of this passage is God's affirmation of Joshua through Moses. Moses' divine calling of Joshua identifies him and commands him to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. The future will hold many trials and tribulations. However, God travels with Joshua and the Israelites, and everything is going to be okay. Through the power of affirmation, by God and by a community, people can step forward and be transformed to do amazing things. Although Joshua was already a skilled general, with the affirmation of God, he was able to lead the people into the Promised Land, bring down the walls of Jericho without firing a single shot, and ultimately fulfill God's promise. Just as Joshua was affirmed by his community, there are many ways that the inclusive community at BMPC has affirmed its members, and specifically its youth. This affirmation allows us as youth to come forward, to lead, and to fulfill God's word. Whether that be in Costa Rica, in Philadelphia, in New York City, at our local high schools, or even here, together on Sunday mornings. Some of the most meaningful affirmations that I have received have been the Camp Kirkwood affirmations. As many of you know, every summer, the youth ministry has an extraordinary opportunity of going up to the Poconos for a week, disconnecting from the outside world, and reconnecting to our faith with friends. On our sixth night together, we set aside a time to affirm each member of our small group. It is an intimate experience in which we share that we know and honor the quality in each person that makes them unique and wonderful. Very few places in a teenager's life is there even an opportunity for such honesty and openness. Camp is a unique community that is grounded in faith. We come together every summer and affirm one another. As the larger church, we have a call to include and affirm all members. We do this so we can go forward and answer to God's word. Through our faith, we have the ability to affirm one another, saying, "Be strong, have courage, you are not alone, God is with you." We affirm one another not only as a community of faith, but because Jesus told us to. At the conclusion of his ministry, Jesus gave a word of the Great Commission and assurance to his disciples, telling them not to be afraid, charging them to go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing, teaching, and promising eternal presence with them. Through this affirmation, We can support each other to do amazing things in the world at large. As I stand before you right now, a team that we all know and some hold dear to their hearts is preparing for potentially the most important 60 minutes of their professional careers. Yes, tonight the Philadelphia Eagles have a chance at their first Super Bowl ring against the team that thwarted their aspirations 13 long years ago. Although we know the enslavement and oppression of the Israelites in Egypt and their mass exodus through a desert is not comparable to that of the Eagles season, there are some playful parallels that lend themselves to this Sunday morning. The Eagles' breathtaking journey that has taken them to Minneapolis resembles that of the Israelites' journey through the desert. Just as Moses had led the Israelites through the desert, Carson Wentz led the team through the arduous 2017 regular season. And at the threshold, it became clear he was not going to be able to lead his team into battle. Similarly to Moses, Carson Wentz affirms his successor to the team and to the community, saying about Nick Foles, "Nick's going to do an amazing job. He's going to lead this team now, and I'm going to be there to support in whatever way I can." Carson Wentz believes that Nick can take them into the Minnesota land of milk and honey. Immediately after Carson's injury, the team and fans had a lot of anxiety about the future for the Eagles season and postseason. Even Carson Wentz in the turn of events said, "I'm not going to lie. I have a ton of faith in the Lord and in his plan, but at the end of the day, it's still been a tough one. We know that life is not always easy, and we will not always get what we want. But God promises we are never alone. When times do get rough, it is crucial that we affirm one another as the people of God to continue to go forward to do amazing things that God has called us to do." The affirmation and inclusion from this congregation is incredibly pertinent to me and everyone in the class of 2018. The BMPC congregation, pastors, and community has nurtured us in our faith journey into young adulthood. BMPC is an inclusive and caring community. It has always accepted us, elevated us, challenged us, and supported us. Right now, I stand on a threshold, soon leaving this community and traveling into unknown land. Even knowing that God is with me, beside me, and before me, I am terrified. I am excited for the opportunities of the future, but I do know that there will be challenges that I cannot imagine. However, the reassurance of God's presence and the affirmation from God through this community allows me to be strong and courageous during my transition from home into the unknown. This step that I'm taking in the crazy walk of life is a predictable one for an 18-year-old. However, transitions occur throughout life, some expected and others unexpected. Some are big and some are small. So whether it be transitioning to the first day of kindergarten or dealing with the sudden loss of a relationship, job, or loved ones, the anxiety that results from these transitions is real. However, as we've been taught today, this anxiety need not persist. God is with us. God goes before us. Whether it be leaving home for college or any transition we face, it is a reassurance to know that I am not alone and that I am loved by God. This is God's promise. This is a message we all need today and every day. Following God isn't always easy. It isn't always safe or comfortable. But we are never alone. That's the promise. That's the reassurance. That is what allows us to go forward and to do amazing things. That's why, in August, when I say goodbye to everything I have known, I will step out of the minivan and not be alone.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Hear anew the Gospel of our Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are the members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
A few years ago, through the Build On Club at my school, I took children from a local homeless shelter ice skating. This was the kind of activity that I, someone who never had to worry about a roof over my head or food on the table, didn't see as being particularly special. It was a sort of thing that I did with my family or friends, often without giving it a second thought. So as we pulled up in the bus, I figured this be an enjoyable but pretty typical afternoon. I was wrong. The kids chattered away about how amazing it was that they were going ice skating. And hearing them excitedly talk, it dawned on me. These kids had very few of the material things and experiences that I took for granted. Their living situation was unstable, while I lived in a house with my family. They often worried about where their next meal was coming from, while I never had to worry about that. Seeing the afternoon of ice skating through their eyes gave me an entirely different perspective. More importantly, this experience gave me the opportunity to get to know people I otherwise probably never would have met. I became the friend and often a big sister that these kids could talk to and look up to. I have since had many similar types of experiences, both through service clubs at school as well as here at the church, serving in programs like the Upper Basketball League, which I have done for many years. Each of these experiences has given me the opportunity to serve in numerous ways and to get to know people from many different backgrounds. These experiences made me feel whole, trying to be a good disciple and reflecting God's love. As I reflected upon my experiences, I thought about the meaning of Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. This is the parable about the sheep and the goats and how they were judged based on whether they did or did not help those less fortunate. After thinking about this passage and what it meant for me in light of my past experiences, there were several messages that stuck out to me. The first was, quite simply, that we should help each other. We should assist and support those less fortunate than us, and we should always be on the alert for opportunities to do so. These opportunities could be as small as helping someone with a physical limitation carry a bag, to something more substantial, like helping out every week at a homeless shelter or food kitchen. It is important to recognize the many blessings that we have and to share our talents and gifts with others around us. Doing our best to give of ourselves would help us to live as God intends and to reflect God's love. The second message I took away from the reading is that we should seek to help others for the right reason, because it is what God would want us to do. In the passage from Matthew, the goat said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?" This question suggests that had they only known that God was present in these needy people, they would have acted more generously. This happens a lot in our society, too. Whether it's in politics, business, or in our regular, every day-to-day lives, we often do things primarily because we think we'll receive something in return. We should try hard to be more like the sheep in the parable, who also didn't recognize God and the needy people, but nevertheless acted kindly. They gave of themselves without expecting it that it would personally benefit themselves. God wants us to be selfless, to look beyond ourselves. As I reflect on the ice skating story I shared earlier, I realize this experience made me feel good inside as I helped others and established friendships with those around me. The final message I found in this parable is that God is present in everyone. Responding to the sheep, the king in the parable says, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." I interpret this to mean that God can be found in all people. We can learn more about God in the connections we build and nurture with other people. This can also be in the relationships with those we help by giving of ourselves. It can also be in the relationships we develop with others who share in our commitment to serving others. A disciple can develop and grow in their relationship with God through interactions with others, especially these least ones referred to in the parable. Those least ones are the hungry, the sick, the prisoners. Imagine what would happen if each of us were to extend a helping hand to those suffering. These relationships offer unique opportunities to learn more about the presence and power of God. In summary, God wants us to help everyone and anyone. He also wants us to know and treat everyone like it were God himself. God is inviting us to join the herd of sheep faithful to him, journeying towards heaven, preaching God's word.
A reading from the Epistle to the Romans. Hear now what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Friends, this is the word of God.
As most people who know me would agree, I live a very active life. Take one look at my calendar and you will see it is plastered with things to do and places to be, but I'm sure all of you can relate. All of our calendars are filled to the brim, evidence of the busy lifestyle that has become the norm for our society. One of the things that appears quite often in my calendar, though, is the word church. Depending on the day, this can mean a lot of different things. It can be referring to Sunday morning youth worship, students serve on Wednesday nights, session meetings once a month, youth retreats, camp, Super Bowl parties, you name the activity at church, and I've probably done it at some point during my time here. Now, a lot of my friends ask me, "Why are you at church every day? Is it really that much fun to read the Bible all the time?" And I tell them it's for a couple different reasons. First, I believe in the teachings of God revealed through Jesus Christ and Scripture, which I learn about every Sunday in youth worship and have since I was a baby. Second, I love getting involved in every aspect of what I do. Not only do I enjoy experiencing the fun trips to Camp Kirkwood and the fulfilling mission trips both to Philadelphia and abroad, but I also enjoy planning youth worship during student serve and attending session meetings where I get to see how the church works from a different perspective. Thus, I try to do the most that I possibly can. Third, this community is my home. The people, the place, all of it combined forms what I know to be a loving community full of people who love each other just as much as God loves us. The community I have found at BMPC is unlike any other. Even as I stand before you today, looking out into the pews, I know that even if I have never seen your face before this very moment, we are connected. We are connected because we believe in God, the one and only, and in Jesus Christ, a man fully human and fully God at once. By coming to this sanctuary and by being a part of this community, we profess our faith and our beliefs in God's goodness, God's might, and God's forgiveness. We strive to embody selflessness, love, compassion, and empathy, just as Jesus did. We dedicate our lives to inclusion, discipleship, responsibility, engagement, affirmation, and mission. I know we are not perfect, and I hope that we do not claim perfection, but we do attempt to reflect these things in all that we do here at BMPC. From our senior adult ministry to our children's ministry and everything in between. For that, I am proud to say that I am a part of this congregation. But while we here believe that this is the way, this is what it means for us to be Christian and to follow God's path, God calls us to refrain from passing judgment on our neighbors around us who might share their faith in a different way. Last year, the youth ministry program at BMPC participated in an interfaith dialogue program called Walking the Walk with other local faith denominations such as the Mainline Reformed Temple, the New Horizons Islamic School, and the Mainline Unitarian Church. This program was intended to teach members of each faith about the customs, beliefs, and practices of the other religions present at the events, and the intended audience was the youth of each congregation. I was fortunate enough to attend one of these meetings that was hosted here in Congregational Hall. Like many other participants, I found the conversations very intriguing, as before the event, I had never even heard of Unitarianism. I learned about the similarities between my faith and other faiths. I learned about the differences between my faith and other faiths. And I learned about the walls that seem to be keeping us apart. While we were discussing why it is important to have interfaith dialogue, a young girl stood up and shared her experience as a Muslim growing up in our world. She told us what it feels like when the people around you see you as a terrorist when you have done nothing wrong. Just because of her faith, she is branded by society and by non-Muslims as dangerous, a threat, an outsider. But what I ask is, who gave people the right to judge the validity of another person's faith? Who said that they can decide what is right and what is wrong, what is clean and what is unclean? Who said that one way is superior to another? Every knee shall bow to God and every tongue shall give praise to God, but who are we to claim that the fountain from which we drink is the only source of God's flowing waters? We are not God, and we should not claim to be as righteous as God. As Christians, as Presbyterians, as members of Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church, we can only live out our lives in the way we believe God has told us to. We can only strive to follow what we think is the best example of being God's disciples. But let us not criticize others for their path to God's forgiveness, God's righteousness, and God's glory. For God's community is greater than any of us by ourselves. It is greater than this sanctuary, than BMPC, than this city, this state, this country, even this world. So while we engage in our community here, we are responsible for expanding that community to include all of our brothers and sisters, but not in a way that judges, criticizes, and condemns. For God is the only referee, the only umpire, the only judge. And when the time comes, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Amen.